Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm pretty sure this is the first time this podcast has needed a content warning, but Wilson Contreras used some pretty colorful language on Friday night. Oh, and Sonny Gray got naked. Anyway, coming up on B-Shafe Daily. What's going on, everyone, and welcome in to this edition of B-Shafe Daily. Brendan Schaefer here with you. It is the early morning hours of Saturday, May 4th, 2024. May the 4th be with you. No, I don't know why the Cardinals couldn't figure it out to do Star Wars night on this day. It seems like the obvious day to do it, but I think it's a dog thing. So Pooches in the Park or something is coming up Saturday. It's, of course, the late night version before Saturday's game as we break down the Cardinals' 3-0 win over the White Sox on Friday. Yeah, the Cardinals did it again. They won the Sonny Gray game. They also won another game in which Ryan Helsley pitched, because that's the only way they seem to be able to win this year. And that's not an exaggeration. That's not hyperbolic. It's just a fact. They have 15 wins. Ryan Helsley has pitched in all 15 of them. That's just the way it's gone. It's a credit to him, but also an explanation of the type of offense the Cardinals have had, because they can't seem to get wins that don't involve save situations. And Ryan Helsley just keeps pitching incredibly well. He was the pitcher of the month in the National League in April, very deservingly so. So that's the story. But it's far from the biggest story of Friday night, because we have a couple of sound bites to play for you. One from Wilson Contreras, one from his battery mate Sonny Gray, as the Cardinals got the win 3-0. Not a lot of offense to speak of. Contreras was a big part of it, 3-for-3, scored a couple of runs, scoring twice on doubles by Nolan Arenado, who had a nice day as well. Between the two of them, they had 5 hits. The rest of the Cardinals had 1. It came from Michael Ciani. It was that kind of game. But it didn't really matter, because you had Sonny Gray on the mound doing Sonny Gray things. But evidently Sonny Gray things goes a little bit further than maybe we understood. He said he needed to find a reset button during Friday night's start, because in the beginning of things, he was feeling a little out of sorts. It was very interesting to hear him talk about how Wilson Contreras was a guiding force for him. And Wilson basically said after the game, all he really said to Sonny Gray in those moments is attack, stay aggressive. Just giving him little pep talks throughout the start to keep him on track. And Wilson said the last thing he wanted to really do is get into the weeds on mechanical fixes for Sonny Gray, because really it's about the idea of what the pitcher is looking to target. It's very interesting. I don't know if Cardinals fans fully understand just how high quality Wilson Contreras is when it comes to these things, because he understood that, look, if I say a certain thing to Sonny, yeah, maybe I notice he's coming open a little bit on his delivery on this or that, but maybe the best way to reach him and to get through to him and quickly get him back to square one of where he needs to be and just use the talent to work for him rather than try and diagnose, well, this is the mechanical flaw. Just give him that little pep talk that he needs to know that, okay, I can lock this in and everything can flow from there. Just really interesting stuff. We might play some of that if I get time. I am on a bit of a time crunch because as I sit down to record this, I just finished my article for KMOV. It's 1:30 a.m. I'm going to level with you. So I don't want to go super long tonight, but there are definitely some things that we have to get to from the post game as we break down this Cardinals win. And look, nobody's going to get over the moon. I get some comments on YouTube from people who are a little pessimistic in my view, where, oh, everybody's ready to erect a statue because the Cardinals beat the terrible White Sox. No, I said coming into the series, you need to sweep the damn thing. That is what the Cardinals need. That should be the expectation against a team that coming into the series was 1-13 in road games. One win, 13 losses for Chicago on the road this year. Guess what? As of this recording, they're now 1-14, and you have Lynn and Gibson going for the Cardinals the rest of the series. The Cardinals need to sweep this thing up. It's a hard thing to say when there's a professional team on the other side and when that's the commentary going into a series when you haven't played a game yet, but it's still how I feel. It's how I felt before game one, and it's certainly how I feel now that the Cardinals secured the Sonny Gray game. But where do we want to begin tonight? It's Contreras. It's Gray. I think we start with what I consider to be the most notable story of the day, which is how Sonny Gray, in addition to getting the pep talk from Wilson Contreras and being able to lock things in a little bit, was able to reset himself. Let's take you back to the top of the third inning today, where Sonny Gray was in a spot of trouble. He'd given up a hit. He'd given up a walk. There's a wild pitch in there. Runner stole third base, so you had first and third. Eloy Jimenez up. Hits a rocket to Arenado with two outs. Luckily, it was right directly to Nolan Arenado. 107.3 miles per hour off the bat, by the way. He smoked it. Absolutely crushed it. But it goes right to the third baseman. And that was a moment where Sonny Gray was able to exhale a little bit and, well, start planning out his next move.
And then, I mean, thankfully, Eloy hit that ball at Nolan at third. I mean, he hit it a billion miles an hour, too, so it's not guaranteed. That was huge because that was the one, if I just knew once I got out of that, and I feel like I got away with one, to be honest with you. I feel like I got away with that inning to come out unscathed, and I feel like, okay, now it's time for you to make an adjustment and figure it out here because what you're doing is not going to last. So I did. I came in and kind of reset and call it. I just kind of reset and started over and felt better after that.
All right, so good. He came in and he reset and felt better. That's the wholesome stuff that you really want to hear. The starter was feeling a little bit off his game. Granted, I think Sonny Gray has a much higher standard than the rest of us. He got into a bit of a jam, was able to escape that jam. Granted, on a ball that was a rocket off the bat of Eloy Jimenez, but he gets out of it. But his first thought is, okay, I really need to reset because if I keep going down this path, it ain't going to go well. So time to get me that reset button. But the way he goes about doing it, and thank God for Jeff Jones for asking the next question, which was, how'd you do that? How'd you reset, Sonny? Well, thankfully, he's going to tell us.
How do you do that? Like, what's your process of resetting?
I just came in here after the third. I've done this before, but I just came in here after the third, took all my clothes off, and got redressed.
What's that? What happened there? I think we need to hear that again. Because I think I heard what he said. I was standing right there next to the man when he said it. But I just want to make sure I'm understanding. Because it sounded, if nothing else, a little unorthodox. Let's try again.
How do you do that? Like, what's your process of resetting?
I just came in here after the third. I've done this before, but I just came in here after the third. Took all my clothes off and got redressed.
That's what I thought he said. That is what I thought he said the first time, and it sounded the same the second time. Okay, let's see what else he's got.
With new cleats, socks, underwear, pants, belt, jersey, hat. And just kind of was like, all right, you're a new guy. Start over here. So that's kind of how I reset it today.
As one does, Sonny Gray, one of one. I mean, and look, I'm not going to say that Sonny Gray is the only guy in MLB history to do something like this. I feel like vaguely over the years I've heard tell of this sort of thing, but I don't know to that extent. This man went through his entire wardrobe and said, here are the articles of clothing that I took off. Here's what I had left, and that's basically nothing. He got rid of it all and started anew. Just started over. Middle of the third inning, feels like he got away with one. On Eloy Jimenez hitting a rocket with two runners on, right to the 10-time Gold Glover at third. A billion miles per hour in the words of Sonny Gray. And so what's he do, man? He goes in and says, I got to reset. And you know, some guys might reset by taking a moment to themselves on the bench. Some guys might, maybe they go for a little walk, you know, just kind of take a moment to breathe it in. Sonny Gray goes back to the clubhouse and gets naked. Hey, I can't knock it if it works. It's not crazy if it works. And clearly for Sonny Gray, it worked. So again, I'm so glad that Jeff Jones asked that follow-up. I might even be more glad that I asked this follow-up to Sonny Gray after the Cardinals win on Friday night. Let's keep it going.
Are you hoping for some long at-bats for the offense when you're in here doing that?
So JoJo was over there, and I was just like, just give me one runner. Just give me a base runner here. There's one out, and I don't have any clothes on. And I'm just kind of like, give me something here.
There you go. Sonny Gray, ladies and gentlemen. Is that not gold? Absolute gold. Like, it's just incredible. Is the guy a certified psychopath? I mean, you heard him. You heard him talk. Who does that? No, I'm kidding. I love it. But it is not what I was expecting to hear. And sometimes that'll happen in a post game where you're kind of in there. It's been a long night. You're doing the job, but you're locked in. Of course, you're locked in on the questions and the answers. But you're just kind of like, you kind of expect what it's going to sound like usually. Because a lot of times, these athlete interviews, they take on similar patterns. That can happen. All right, this was a good start. The pitcher threw really well. But he's probably going to, knowing Sonny Gray, talk about the areas that he maybe would have liked to have been a little sharper, or how he had to struggle to find it a little bit, and that's the way he described it. And then, yeah, what do you do to reset? Well, you know, I really just take some time to myself. No, I go in the clubhouse and I take off all my clothes. Sure. Why not? We should all be trying it in our places of business. If you're having a little hard time at work, probably an HR violation, but it does seem to work out in this case for Sonny Gray. Again, it's not weird if it works. And it worked. 7 innings of shutout baseball for Sonny Gray, lowering his ERA to 0.89, which is apparently something that has not been done by a Cardinal over his first 5 starts of a year since 1910. For those counting along at home, 1910 was a long effing time ago. And by the way, I probably didn't even need to censor myself there by saying effing, because I'm going to have to put a content warning on this video anyway, because of the stuff I'm going to play from Wilson Contreras here in a few minutes, which was well worth the price of admission into the Cardinals clubhouse postgame, which, by the way, is free. You don't have to pay to be in there. You do need your credential. You don't have to subscribe to anybody's podcast in particular to join in on these postgame interviews and ask your question and do your job. Shout out Patrick Beverly for those following that story in the NBA. What the hell was that? Anyway, interesting scene down in the Cardinals clubhouse. And by the way, too, I hadn't seen this before. I presume it happens after every win, but maybe just they turn the lights off before the media gets in there usually. But this time, as we were walking in, they still had like a whole disco light show going on with the music. And then media came in and they turned it off because we're not supposed to party, I think is part of it. They can enjoy the win. And it
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
At least seems like they did. But let me know in the comments below, Cardinals fans here on YouTube, what did you think of Sonny Gray, and what do you think of now knowing the way that it happened, how the sausage is made, so to speak, how he found his rhythm after that third inning? And I think this is the unsung moment of the game. If you're talking about an unsung hero in a game where the Cardinals only put together 6 hits, 5 of them came from the combination of Wilson Contreras and Nolan Arenado, who, by the way, we're not going to spend a ton of time talking about it, but that's what they need, right? And I know no homers were hit by the Cardinals in this game, so, okay, you still worry a little bit about what that's going to look like. White Sox didn't homer either because they didn't score. Cardinals still sit 30th on the home runs list because they didn't hit one. Chicago didn't hit one. Cards have 21. White Sox have 22. We'll see if either of the teams end up with at least one home run before the weekend ends. But the Cardinals get not a ton of offense outside of the main two guys that did it, and you need the two guys to do it, so you're happy about that. Siani had the only other hit for St. Louis, but on a night where all that's going on, you could make the case that Alec Burleson actually had the most important at-bat of the game because he was the last batter to make the final out in the bottom of the third inning. Now, if you think back, what was Sonny Gray doing during this time? He was putting on his pants. Alec Burleson fouled off three pitches and took a couple balls before grounding out ultimately to White Sox first baseman Andrew Vaughn, but that happened on the seventh pitch of the at-bat. That was valuable time that Sonny Gray clearly needed to be able to get his affairs in order in the clubhouse. And I can't imagine doing, by the way, what Sonny Gray did. First of all, you have to just operate on a different level of pressure when you are a professional athlete doing what these guys do in front of the fans, on TV, and all of that involved. Like, I'm just trying to imagine. And Sonny Gray has a theater background as well. He was in high school. I don't know if everybody knows this. He was in High School Musical back in high school. Sonny Gray was. Like, his high school did a musical, not the movie, but like the musical play version of High School Musical. And he was the Zac Efron character, if I'm not mistaken. I think that video is somewhere out there on YouTube of Sonny Gray performing as a senior in high school. So he knows a little bit about pressure is what I'm saying. He also knows a little bit about the art of a quick change. I can't believe I didn't explore that angle with Sonny Gray. That's got to be something I follow up on, especially with all the chatter that the cat does with me on Hot Take Central on 590 The Fan on Fridays when he's always talking my musical theater background up. That's maybe an angle with Sonny. I got to say, hey, was it your theater days that inspired the quick change? I'm just curious, but I would think that that's a really difficult thing to do with every element that is involved in a baseball uniform. Like, okay, I get it. You're doing it to reset. But with that limited amount of time, dude, I have dreams sometimes that I don't even do anything. Like, I'm not playing sports at a high level. I'm not doing these things that I'm under a time crunch. I've had the dreams before where it's like, it's time for my radio show and the sound won't work or I don't know how to plug it in or something. And you always feel like those nightmares that catch you, it's something mundane, but it's something that's part of your real daily life, and so that's why it's a little bit jarring and scary when you're in the dream. Like, how do you not have the dream of, I'm changing in the middle of a game because this is apparently something I do when I need to reset, but now I can't find my belt, or I've got the wrong sock. I've got two socks, they don't match. You know, I figured there would be a uniform snafu when you're dealing with that many moving parts. You're stripping down bare naked and trying to put it all back together in a half inning, and not to be a snarky jerk or anything, but he trusted the Cardinals offense to have a long enough half inning for him to do that. Has he seen this offense lately? I don't know, man. That was definitely bold. You heard him there telling JoJo Romero, I just need a base runner. Just get me a base runner. And so I went back and rechecked it out. Contreras led off the inning with a hit, but then was erased at second base on a ground out by Goldie, but Goldie beat it out, so not a double play. So they still got four batters to the plate. It was Alec Burleson with the seven-pitch AB to end the inning. That seemed to be more than enough. But I would just feel like I would be absolutely terrified of, oh, I missed a belt loop. I did it. To be doing it like that on that level and in that amount of time, there's got to be, that's a level of confidence that I know maybe nobody cares about this angle of it, but that's what I keep thinking of is, what if you grab the wrong hat, or what if you wrong color sock? Did you tie both shoes? That's all got to happen really quickly. Anyway, it's neither here nor there, but that's what I think of. It's the weird stuff that comes to my mind. Sonny Gray, though, let me give you a little bit more on his pitching prowess and the numbers that he's put up. I mentioned the first Cardinal starter to do what he's doing since 1910. That's 114 years ago. Pretty impressive. The 0.9 ERA, unfortunately, Gray does not quite qualify at this point for statistical leaderboards because the way it works for starting pitchers is you have to have thrown at least one inning per team game played. And the Cardinals have now played 32 games, they're 15-17, but Sonny Gray has only thrown 30 2/3 innings. So he's four outs short, despite the fact that he's missed a couple of starts, right? Like he might have missed two or three turns through the rotation. I'd have to go back and look. But he's been pretty much lights out, and even though he started out on a pitch count, he's been able to make up some of the innings that he lost by night like tonight going seven innings. Basically, you'd have to average five innings per start in theory to be able to qualify for these statistical leaderboards, because you're going to pitch every fifth day and that's how many games are played. So you need to basically throw five innings per start. So throwing seven tonight, he's a little bit closer to qualifying. But let's pretend he did qualify, because he's literally four outs short and we want to measure him up against what the other top pitchers in the league are doing. And in the case of Sonny Gray, it's very, very encouraging, which you probably already could have guessed, but I'll give you the specifics of the numbers. When it comes to ERA, and there might be a guy, I'm not going to go through and look, there might be a guy out there who's, you know, same as Sonny, maybe he's an inning short, so he wouldn't qualify either, but he's got a better ERA than Sonny. MLB.com, if I sort it by all players, I'm going to get a bunch of guys that have thrown one out and they've got a zero ERA. That's just not useful to me. I'll take a quick look. There have been a few that have thrown 10 or 11 innings. Nick Pivetta's made two starts, has a lower ERA than Sonny. He's thrown 11 innings. So we're just going to basically say, looking at this, it's Sonny Gray and the qualifiers are the people that we're really stacking him up against, because he is four outs away from being a qualifier. If he throws, say, seven innings again in his next start, he'll be there essentially where he needs to be. He's got an 0.9 ERA, the only pitcher in baseball with a better one among starting pitchers is Shota Imanaga, which that one is going to sting for a long time, Cardinals fans. And I remember starting the offseason saying, hey, Shota Imanaga, maybe a guy the Cardinals should look into. And they signed all their guys really, really quick. And so it was like, okay, I guess they're out on that whole deal. I don't know how far they pursued it. I don't know if they, you know, they did scout him. We know that. I don't know how seriously they were interested once they signed three guys. But when you watched it kind of be a free agency that played out for a while, I think he was kind of waiting on all the other big names to sign. We saw Otani's deal. Obviously, he's not a pitcher at this point, but Otani got his deal. You had Yamamoto get his massive deal from the Dodgers. Imanaga settles for 4 years and $53 million guaranteed from the Chicago Cubs, and he's got a 0.78 ERA to lead baseball. We should have saw that one coming, and we kind of did, but it's a mea culpa for me because I didn't keep pushing it as much. I think you could go back. I did however many dozens of podcasts in the offseason. I know I talked about him, and I said, look, I think he'd be a great fit. And then it just sort of fizzled out where we didn't keep on the stick with that as much as I wish I had. But it was, again, because I knew the Cardinals had signed three. They said they were going to get three, and they had gotten them. So I just didn't have any sense that they were going to do what a lot of Cardinals fans wanted them to do, which was bump Steven Matz to the bullpen from day one, despite that they're paying him $11 million for this year and again for next year on that same salary. They said, look, we've seen enough. We want to see him in the bullpen instead of as a starter. Don't go into the year baking him into the top five in your rotation. It would have been prudent, probably at this point, we could say. And so if you want to run that victory lap, Cardinals fans, I'm already cool with you doing it, because the book on Steven Matz would have been, he's good when he's good, but he doesn't get you deep into games. He never really has. And health is always going to be a concern. Here he is with a herniated disc in his back. We put the news video out earlier Friday afternoon, so if you missed that one, you can go back. But rehashing it here just a little bit, he's on the injured list. They call up Kyle Leahy. Kyle Leahy is not going to start. He's an extra reliever for the weekend and for Monday. And then Tuesday will be the next time the Cardinals need to figure out a starter, and that's technically the Matz spot now moving forward. Who is it going to be? I regrettably, in that previous video, did not mention the guy that it very well could be, which is Gordon Graceffo. Now, he's not on the 40-man roster, and it will require a move, but as I was kind of going back and forth with Jeff Jones tonight in the press box, he mentioned, like, Graceffo's going to be Rule 5 eligible this coming winter, which kind of gave me the thought, man, the Cardinals might as well give him a look. And he's got, like, a 4.3 ERA in AAA, so he hasn't turned into the major pitching prospect to this point that he looked to be for a while. Like, I think it was 2022 that he was the minor league pitcher of the year in the minor league organization. I feel like that's right. And 2023 happened, and he had a high 4s ERA in Memphis. Now, this year, he's got a low 4s ERA in Memphis, but it's just maybe he's plateauing a little bit at that level for whatever reason. If it's the different strike zone, Certain guys have a lot of trouble there, and then they can come to the big leagues. Like, there's an element that I think it's not impossible for a guy to have some rough starts in Memphis, but then be able to come up to the major leagues and look really good as a result of just whether it's just the adrenaline boost or whether it's actually a tangible difference between the way their stuff responds to a different size strike zone. The word on that is the high strike in AAA is basically non-existent. That's the sense I got from when we were talking to some of the guys like Dakota Hudson last year that would go up and down. Zach Thompson, another example. It's just really with the way the automatic ball strike challenge system works and just the way the umpires are calling that zone down there, it is there's no high strike. So you actually can have a little bit of a tougher time if part of your game is establishing your fastball up at the top of the strike zone, and then you look for your breaking stuff to play off of that by sweeping that below the strike zone, change the eye level of hitters. It's a lot harder, evidently, to change the eye level of hitters with the way things are going now from a strike zone perspective down in AAA. So I just wonder if maybe Gordon Graceffa, who's got a 4.32 ERA in Memphis, might just be the answer, right? I mentioned Andre Pallante, Zach Thompson. By the way, both Pallante and Thompson threw four innings tonight. They piggybacked and scoreless. Memphis ended up winning their game in a shutout fashion. Pallante did walk a few guys again. I think another guy that might be dealing with that strike zone. But I said that it wouldn't shock me if the Cardinals would make a decision to say, hey, just bring up Pallante for a few starts if Mats is not going to be out long, which it doesn't seem like the Cardinals think he's going to be. But we also know how that goes from time to time. So maybe it's just going to be a wait-and-see mode on when Mats can return. He got injected. He's got a herniated disc. It's going to be whatever it is, a few weeks, a couple few weeks, and then he'll be back. We'll see what that ends up looking like. There's certainly going to be, though, an opportunity for somebody in the meantime to take hold of the role because Mats was not performing very well right before the injury anyway. Was the injury a part of that? Do you Wally Pipp a guy based on getting hurt? Going to remain to be seen. But we know that Steven Mats has sort of had that story all along where he'll have some good outings, he'll have good stretches, he'll have good months, he'll have good 6 weeks, and then something happens, an injury kind of falls off in terms of his effectiveness. So we'll see what the Cardinals end up deciding to do when he gets back. But the first things first is figuring out who takes the spot. And I mentioned Sam Roberts doing a great job in Memphis, but he's only 22. He is on the 40-man, so that is a mark in his favor. You could go Matthew Liberatore, which he did not pitch. We were kind of wondering, could he pitch in the eighth inning tonight? 3-0 lead against a weak White Sox lineup. Would you ever consider trying to get an extra day for JoJo or Helsley or both? And choosing somebody else from that bullpen to finish it out with a 3-0 lead. The answer from that was no. Ollie Marmol goes with JoJo. He goes with Helsley. They do what they do. Didn't even allow a base runner. It was easy. But you are using those guys quite a bit. So it'll be interesting to see. If Liberatore doesn't even warm up, like I'm talking Saturday, Sunday, that could be a sign that the Cardinals could be leaning in his direction, actually, to make this start. But there's also the world in which Saturday morning pregame, Sunday morning pregame, Ollie spills the beans and tells us because that's going to be a constant question asked of team brass when it comes to the rest of this weekend and if they haven't revealed it by Monday. I'll guess that they'll tell us by either Saturday, if not then probably by Sunday pregame at the latest postgame. I don't think they'll let it swing all the way into Monday, but you never know. Liberatore, I mentioned in my previous video, I mentioned Sam Roberts. I mentioned Pallante. Regrettably, I did not mention Gordon Graceffa, and it very well may be him that they choose because of that element where he does need to get some looks anyway. I know he's sort of plateaued with his numbers at Memphis the last couple of years after having a really bright 2022 at the lower levels, but there is this notion that you don't want to necessarily let a guy go if he's going to be Rule 5 eligible. You got to put him on the 40-man, and I'm sure they'll do that. I'm not suggesting that he's even a borderline guy, but, you know, he has plateaued a little bit in the minors, and so there could be a consideration of, well, you know, how much do we invest? I think you got to see a guy before you make those decisions. That's been the problem with the Cardinals when they've let guys go in the past. Alcantara is one you think of because they only saw him a little bit as a reliever in the big leagues, and whether they felt they knew what he was or they just didn't realize the untapped potential at that time because they didn't get a long enough look at him, you don't want to make that mistake again if you can avoid it. You want to at least get the data on guys if at all possible. And this could be an opportunity to do that with Gordon Graceffa, who I think it, if he's held back in time, he hasn't pitched in a number of days, so he should be good. With Zach Thompson and Pallante pitching on Friday night, that takes him out of the running, both of them. So they'll continue to build up at Memphis. But the depth of the starting rotation, I think, is those two guys. After you, like, if you had another issue, I think it would be one of those two guys maybe vying for whatever opportunity comes after this one. Will it be Robertson? Will it be Graceffo? You can't go wrong with either, but I'm actually kind of leaning Graceffo just because he is 24, so a couple years older than Robertson, and maybe you just see what it looks like for Sam for a couple few more starts before really kind of getting that itch for a 22-year-old. Like, we talk about development, and does it matter? Can a guy come up and get shelled? Can he? The thing about Sam is, like, his stuff is not overpowering, so I worry if he has a day or two, or it flattens out at the big league level and it just doesn't do the Sem stuff that it's been doing down in AAA, could he end up having a lesser experience? I kind of feel like the pecking order before the year and even before 2023 was Graceffo was knocking on the door. He's plateaued a bit with his numbers, but maybe you just push a guy out onto the stage and see what he does. It might be getting to be about that time for Graceffo. And another note I'll make about his numbers before I get into the Wilson Contreras comments from postgame, which we will play the audio from, quite funny. 2 2/3 innings, 7 earned runs, a couple of home runs given up. That was the start he had on April 6th, Gordon Graceffo's second start of the year. I know you can't do this. It's just like with the Kyle Gibson thing. But if you take that one out, basically all of his other starts have been really, really good. He's had the 7-run outing that happened on the 6th of April. He pitched 5 1/3 and gave up 4 on the 25th. Every other game has been 1 earned run or fewer, and that's over 5 or 6 other starts. So he's actually largely been pretty good, giving up maybe a few too many walks for my taste, and the strikeout numbers have been solid but inconsistent. Not every start is he going berserk, but he's got good K numbers overall. I feel like Graceffo could very well be the answer. Cardinals fans, I apologize to you if you watched my previous video because I didn't mention him, and the more I think on it, the more I think he could be a legitimately viable candidate. A 4.34 ERA at Memphis, but he does have some solid K numbers, a K per inning, 29 strikeouts and 29 innings. Gordon Graceffo, 24 years old, maybe he is the answer for Mats. We'll find out probably later on this weekend. But let's go ahead now and get into some of the Wilson Contreras thoughts on Sonny Gray from after the game, because, well, Wilson had a great day offensively, 3 for 3, scored a couple of runs, scored all the way from first on the second double by Nolan Arenado. And that was, I asked him if he knew off the bat he was going to score from first on that. He was like, oh yeah, no problem, it's easy. And he kept saying, I'm just joking. he told Ivan Herrera that he's faster than him, and then he said, I'm just joking. Wilson just kind of likes to say stuff and is awesome because he has such an infectious personality, and it truly, he doesn't mean anything by it when he says certain things, and he just wants you to know, I'm just playing around. I'm just having fun. And he's just being Wilson, and he is a heck of a dude, a heck of a soundbite too, as you'll find out here. So the question was pertaining to how he would describe the consistency of Sonny Gray, and he said, yeah, consistency, that's a good word. But then he went into maybe some further description that they probably can't play on TV. So if you have delicate sensibilities, I am going to play it. I'm not going to bleep it out. But I just like to give the warning in case there are kids, whatever. I don't know who all listens to the show. But if you don't love it, skip ahead 30 seconds or so. Because here is Wilson Contreras on the consistency factor for Sonny Gray.
What makes Sonny so consistent, do you feel like? I mean, considering how he's started the season this far, I mean, what's made that consistency there for him?
Attack the zone. I think that's the best way to put it. He's not fucking around. I don't have another word. So,
that's a pretty good one.
He's not joking around. No, there you go.
That's the best. He goes, well, you heard what he said. But they said, you know, he's not joking around. And they said, oh, no, there you go. That was the word. I knew there was a word that would have described it. There you go. Joking around. But no, he's not effing around, as Wilson Contreras would say. There's no F around mode for Sonny Gray. There's only the mode that gets him to success. And that's what he's been so far this season for the Cardinals. We'll listen to a little bit more from Wilson after that moment.
And he's into business. I mean, the way he goes through his business when he's about to start is unbelievable.
Cardinals catcher Wilson Contreras. Hey, I don't have another word, but then he kind of thought of one, and I think he felt, I'm sorry, Bally Sports. I could have kept it, but they just, they weren't going to be able to use that. But we can on YouTube. There's no FCC, right? I'll put the content warning out there, like I said. I'll play this from Wilson as well. My question to him about whether he was thinking off the bat he was going to be able to score on that that second double by Nolan Arenado, that he hit to right field.
Wilson, were you thinking off the bat on Nolan's second double that you're going to get home score from first on that?
Oh, yeah, on my feet. I wasn't trying to slide. I'm just kidding. two outs, and of course, hitting the gap, you had you trying to score. But thankfully, the right field took a while to get to that. I'm happy for Nolan. I think he deserved that. I know he's having a tough time finding himself at the plate, but thankfully, he's going to turn it around, and I know that he's a guy that always hit, and he knows what he's doing.
In a game that didn't have many runs, how good did it feel for you and Nolan to be able to contribute the way you guys did offensively?
Well, it feels good, man. It feels good, especially when you're on base two times out of three, and he's able to drive the runs in. I think when you have an offense like that, like somebody can drive in runs, it's really important.
His first double, the shortstop jumped and almost caught it, but it went all the way to the wall. I guess you got to hit a ball pretty hard to do that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he squared that one up. I hesitated a little bit, no outs. So I was like, I wasn't sure about it, but I mean, he hit it hard enough to get to the wall and had two RBIs in the same inning.
Scoring all the way from first on the stolen base, showing off the wheels for me.
I was telling Ivan that I'm faster than him, but I was just kidding.
And we'll cut it there. But that is fantastic. I was telling Ivan I'm faster than him, and he keeps going, "I'm just kidding." Like, let's not anybody take me out of context here. I give you the full context with that audio. Wilson is a delight, man. He was great tonight, and it's just like he kind of shrugs. He's like, he's not Sonny Gray. He's not effing around. Sorry. Couldn't think of another word. That's the word I got for you. And then John Denton, do you hear JD in the background going, "That's a pretty good word." That's classic John Denton right there for you. You got to love it. I also like Wilson there and his answer about scoring from first on the Arenado double, the second double. He said, on my feet, I wasn't trying to slide, which he didn't slide. I was going, that throw's not going to get Wilson. And he was chugging around third base, was getting sent the whole way by Pop. And I thought it may be a close play, but then you could tell it wasn't. And he was acutely aware of that, clearly. He said, I wasn't going to slide. Jokingly, right, he would have done it if he needed to. But I think he was paying attention to whether or not he needed to. Maybe took a peek there. But it all worked out. Cardinals win 3-0. Wilson Contreras knows that Sonny Gray is not joking around, right? And he's not, and he doesn't. He does take his clothes off in the clubhouse, but that it works for him. You can't fault a guy for doing what works for him as long as, everybody else was cool with it. I guess JoJo was in there in the clubhouse at that point in the game, eighth inning, man. They don't need him for a little while. So he was doing whatever he was doing. Pretty good stuff. Let me know, Cardinals fans, what do you think of all that, the Sonny Gray stuff, the Wilson Contreras stuff, quite a dynamic duo as the lead battery for this team now. For so many years it was Yadi and Waino. It's Wilson and Sonny at this point, and those guys were something else tonight. Wilson goes 3-for-3, scores the two runs, driven in by Arenado twice, which I mentioned that to Wilson. You heard the question. For real, Arenado's first double, the shortstop couldn't have been, but maybe 2-3 feet from catching it. Like, he actually leaped to try to make the play a couple feet off, maybe 18 inches off. But when the shortstop is actually earnestly trying to jump up and make a play, for that ball to go all the way to the wall before it's picked up, like it hit off the wall, not on a fly, but rolling, just the perfect spot and plug the gap. But to hit it that hard as well to where nobody was able to go, I don't know that I've ever seen that. Maybe I have and I'm just forgetting. But a shortstop legitimately thinking he's got a chance to make a play, so he jumps up to try to catch it, doesn't get leather on it, but the ball is hit so hard 8, 10, 12 feet off the ground. Like it just was a line drive, low liner the entire way, knee-high liner to the wall. I just don't know how often I've seen that. 105, I believe, was the exit velo, by the way, on Arenado's first double. Good to see him get going. I still say there is an element of concern. Like on a night like tonight, everything's gravy, whatever. You win the game. The fact that nobody else got hits besides Arenado and Contreras, Michael Ciani had the one. It's kind of like, all right, guys, you're going to have to get going. You're seeing Donovan struggle. You know, Newt Barr is down to 568 OPS. They've dropped him in the order a bit. They moved up Mason Wynn. Suddenly, though, with an 0-for-4, he's at 726 on the OPS. It wouldn't take but a couple more of those for his OPS to be below 700 as well. So nobody's really immune to this, except apparently Wilson Contreras, who just continues to rake a 926 OPS. He's been one of the best hitters in baseball. Took a walk tonight as well, so he was on base 4 times. Pretty good stuff. And he's going to stay batting up high in that order, I would imagine. Goldie batted third today. Did not get a base hit, but he did reach via walk and scored on the Arenado double in the first. So that's where the Cardinals are at. Offensively, they're going to need to do a little bit more, but you don't really worry about that on a night like tonight. I know in the comments you might be a little more concerned, and look, rightfully so, because this is not going to necessarily be the way to do it for 162 games, not if you're trying to win 85 or 88 of them. You got to score some runs. Cardinals are going to have to score runs. Tonight they didn't because Sonny Gray pitched. So every fifth day, as long as you have Gray and maybe a couple of those dudes from the triumvirate, you didn't need to go to Kittredge tonight because, well, Sonny went 7. The question was asked of Ollie Marmol, any consideration with Sonny to maybe get him out back out there for the 8th? And he said, no, we want him to feel good about where he's at. End on a high note there, 94. They're not really trying to push him to 100 just yet. But I think probably next time out, if the circumstances call for it, you could see it. But by the same token, they didn't want to do it tonight, even with Sonny having very, very stress-free innings for the most part. He had that third inning where he had to deal with the first and third when we talked about the Eloy Jimenez line out to Arenado. And then I want to say it was the fifth inning where he had a strikeout, but it was a sinker that was tipped just a little bit and so was kind of sliding out of the glove of Contreras. He couldn't quite hold on to the foul tip third strike. And tried to sell it, too. Like, picked it up real quick and threw it around the horn. And then the umpire was like, no. That was a foul ball. So they bring Martin Maldonado back into the box. 4 pitches later, base hit up the middle. And you're going, oh, boy. And then I think there was even a pass ball, wild pitch, whatever it was, that got Maldonado's second. And you're thinking, oh, man, like, he was cruising. Sonny was cruising and just didn't need this little extra. He was so close to having that strikeout to get, you know, to get another out on the board. And it just didn't faze him. He had the next 8 outs, the next 8 men he faced out, and that's how he finished his night. 7 shutout innings, a sub-1 ERA. First time a Cardinal starter has done that over the first 5 starts of the season since 1910. And there's only been a handful of guys to have ever done it with the Cardinals to begin a season. He's on a Cy Young track. There's no doubt about that. He's going to be in the mix if he continues pitching like this. Alongside a guy like Imanaga, it's early. You know, maybe he falls off the pace a little bit. But it looks very real and sustainable with Sonny. You know, you just get a feeling right now. And Contreras was asked about his ERA record, you know, doing that thing since 1910. And Contreras said, I don't really look at that. And to be honest, I'm a little superstitious. So it was kind of the vibe of, please stop asking me to talk about this thing because I want to ensure that my guy Sonny can keep it going. So that I thought was kind of funny because he didn't want to talk about it. But it was interesting. He said the innings are what I look at. If you're talking to the catcher and you ask him what's the important stat that you want to see when you're measuring your starting pitcher, kind of what's meaningful to you, the fact that he said I look at innings, I thought was kind of interesting. I mean, it makes sense. Got to get through innings and quality ones. But the on the player level, like we look at the stats. We're all fixated on the stats as outsiders, as media, as fans. But I honestly feel like the players are not as hyper-focused or fixated on the stats game to game because you almost can't be, right? Like you can't feel different about yourself as a person or a player because Your OPS is 926 today, but then you go 0-4, and so now it's down below 900. Or on the other end of the spectrum, you're at 620 like a Goldschmidt, and then you go 0-4, and now you're below 500 or below 600. You can't necessarily start feeling differently about yourself. You know what I mean? And so I don't feel like the players hyper-fixate on the stats the way that we do. But Contreras says, look, one thing I noticed is he's throwing a lot of innings because that's good for our bullpen. That's good for our team. And Sonny did that tonight. 7 innings. All shutout innings. Good to see. Cardinals win it. 3-0. Well, I've yammered on for long enough. The Cardinals have a day game coming up on Saturday. It's way too late at night, so I should probably go to bed to be ready to get up and do it all over again. Thank you guys so much, though, for listening. Get those comments in, get those likes in, and please do subscribe to the channel if you enjoy Cardinals content. All summer long, you'll have it here with B-Shafe Daily and the Brendan Schaefer St. Louis Cardinals writer channel. Also, KMOV.com/sports. Please go read my Sonny Gray article. It's not terribly long, but it's got some good nuggets in it, and hopefully you guys enjoy, but that helps me out too. Appreciate you guys, as always, for listening. We will talk to you next time on B-Shafe Daily. Peace.